And that was an important aspect of the French monarchy. Because by 1095, when the First Crusade is preached, the Capetian kings of France were looked upon as the hereditary monarchs of the Kingdom of France. They were sanctified by the French church, and having that sanctification meant that the French king could work through the clergy, especially the bishops and abbots, the senior prelates of the French church, and affect aspects of their realm beyond just what their limited royal officials could do. On the other hand, the French kings were remarkably weak in comparison to their contemporaries in England and in the Holy Roman Empire. During the breakdown of the Carolingian Empire in the 9th and 10th centuries, not only did the Carolingian line become extinct, but essentially the local vassals asserted their power. In the course of the Civil War, certain regions in France, what we would now today call France, the rulers there, either under the title of Count or Duke, which are old Roman military titles, essentially asserted their authority as independent agents, as independent rulers. These included Burgundy, Brittany, Aquitaine, Flanders, which is essentially now parts of Belgium and northeastern France, and in the south, Toulouse. In 911, another such feudal state was added in Normandy, just north of Paris, when the area was handed out to Rollo, or Roloff, a Norwegian Viking who was granted the property in return for military service with an act of homage. There's a whole marvelous story told about it. The act of homage at this point was already a very well-known ritual. Rollo was asked to kiss the foot of his new lord, who was known as Charles the Simple. The Carolingians tended to name their kings after their vices rather than their virtues. And Rollo just looked at this notion as silly and told one of his Viking comrades, "You kiss the foot." And so the comrade simply picked the king up, the foot up, and tossed the king over on his back to kiss the foot. And everyone laughs, and it's symbolic of the weakness of the king and the power of Rollo and his descendants, who became Dukes of Normandy. That is, these Vikings intermarried with local population, adopted the French language, and became the Normans. As a result, by 1095, what had happened is that political authority in France had broken down to such a low level that it had to be rebuilt from the bottom up. And by 1095, there were a group of six leading feudal nobles known as the Peers of France who had more or less gotten their local lords and vassals, the castellans, the men who handled castles, under their authority. They all owed liege homage to the King of France, the Capetian family ruling in Paris. And that meant they owed military service and other rights and duties. But what the King of France could actually do with these nobles on a day-to-day basis was extremely limited. He depended entirely on their goodwill, on marriage connections, and the like. So that the French monarchy in 1095 was, by our standards, extremely weak. France was not really governed from Paris. In fact, there was no France. There was a Kingdom of France in which there was neither political, cultural, or linguistic unity. Most of the Bretons spoke a Celtic language. Flanders spoke a Germanic language. Southern France spoke Provençal, which is its own Romance language. And they all owed a loyalty, personal loyalty, to the king. Well, the situation was somewhat different in England. In England, that peculiar monarchy emerged under the Anglo-Saxon kings, and then in 1066, there was an immediate and dramatic conquest by the Duke of Normandy, William the Conqueror. And the Battle of Hastings put a French vassal on the throne of England. William brought the institutions, the arrangements of feudal tenures, in return for the military service, imposed it on England, confiscated estates, awarded them to his vassals. But unlike the French king, William and his heirs kept very close control over their vassals, so that England became one of the most effectively governed kingdoms in Western Europe. And the kings of England fell heirs to all of these traditional, especially legal and administrative institutions that went back to the Anglo-Saxon age, the most important of which is the common law. These they adapted to royal purpose, but they superimposed upon it the political and military arrangements of feudal Normandy. Even so, this does not mean that the Norman Kingdom of England was at all on the order of, say, the bureaucratic empire of Byzantium. William, as well as his dependents, had to base their rule on the goodwill of their vassals. They had to adhere to the traditions of homage and all that implied.